This is Bill Martin of the State Historical Society of Wisconsin staff. I am in the home of Mr. Morris Weingrad in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in order to make a tape recording on Tuesday, the 20th of February, 1962.
I'm Morris Weingrad, age 67. I was born in 1894 in the city of Warsaw, Poland. I come from an extreme Orthodox Jewish family. I have received a religious Orthodox education, and at a early age, perhaps 14 or 15, I have joined young groups like myself, and in discussion groups or circles. At a very early age, me and people like myself were very much interested in Palestine. We lived in Poland under a regime of anti-Semitism, of oppression, and the younger generation like myself, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, looked for a way out. And we turned our hearts and our eyes to what was known then, Palestine. I'm referring, of course, to the time way back before the First World War. I came to Milwaukee in 1921, and I found a very fine group of people centered around an organization called the Pa'ala Zion. They were idealistic, young, and willing to do, to help, and extremely devoted to what was then known as Palestine. They had a very fine leadership, very educated, very devoted to this movement. Also, I would say, numerically, they were not large, but they were very, very influential in the community. When I sit here and I look back to those years, some 41 years ago, I think I should mention that when I came here, I found them, I found quite a bit of disappointment and frustration among these young people and devoted Zionists. There were several reasons for it. It was at the end of the First World War, and the dreams the dreams that the war is going to change and is going to turn over a new leaf for all the people, and including of the Jewish people, has not exactly materialized. The days of the Balfour Declaration from 1900 that was given to the Jewish people in 1917 looked in 1921 did not look as bright and as promising as they were just a few short years ago. I remember I came here in April. And a little while later, in 1900, to be exact, on May 1st, 1921, there was a pogrom in Tel Aviv and in many other communities in Palestine. And there was a pogrom in Jews, just like who have saved themselves and rescued from many parts of Eastern Europe in those days, came to Israel, or to Palestine, it was known in those days, and they were pogromized by the Arabs. There were fights and strife, and there was a lot of frustration and a lot of disappointment. There was also, as I mentioned before, there was a lot of disappointment in that the League of Nations has not lived up, has not developed into these things, into these realities, what war expected from the League of Nations. I also remember the time when I came that one of the top leaders of this movement, a woman who now is known throughout the world, but at that time she was a Milwaukee girl, but one time she was known as Goldie Mabovitz, later as Goldie Meyerson. Her husband's name was Meyerson, and now she's, of course, known throughout the world as Golda Meir. She left at that time for Palestine. And the people, her friends, her comrades, felt that they have missed her a lot and felt that one of the top leadership, and there wasn't really anybody in those days, I think they ever were, to take her place. And they turned, despite of this frustration, as I said before, and disappointments, these people who had one or two who were organized in one or two branches of the Baal Zion, or what's known now as the Labor Zionist movement, turned to practical work. Practical work, I remember when I came here in spring 1921, just a few days after my arrival here, there was a campaign, they started a campaign, what was called Tools for the Workers in Palestine, for Jewish workers, or for workers in general in Palestine. And it was a very successful campaign, was carried on there. Probably one of the first ones for very practical purposes. People were disappointed in the British, and they felt that we are not going to have this land, despite of the Balfour Declaration. People will have to work very hard, and we will put the, plainly, to say it plainly, we'll put the shoulder to the wheel, and we are going to help those people. I should mention here a fellow who has always been dead for some years, a fellow by the name of Nathan Sand, was the chairman of that campaign in 1921, the time when I was what we called green and a newcomer. In those days, and I think I ought to say a few words about that, in those days when Yiddish, in the Yiddish section of the community, which was mostly concentrated around Walnut Street from 6th or 7th Street up to 17th Street, there are thousands, perhaps quite a few thousand families lived there. These people, there were two opposing factions. One of this movement that I have mentioned before, and the other one was a movement that was called the Arbeiterring in Yiddish, or the in English, the workingman's circle. These people, just as immigrants like the on the other side, like the Baal of Zion, these people were almost violently opposed to the idea of a Jewish state, or to the idea of ever, of Palestine ever becoming a Jewish state. In fact, they carried on a real propaganda in the Jewish section against the Baal of Zion, because they looked upon them as dreamers, as working for something that would never, never be realized. I think that they brought this ideology from the old country, from Poland, from Russia, because I'm familiar with a very strong and powerful movement that existed in Russia that was called the Bund. And apparently, a lot of people either were Bundists, Jewish Bundists, not to be identified with the German Bund that we had here during the times of early in the Second World War, before the Second World War. But these Bundists in Poland were, and their friends were very much opposed, very much against a Jewish state. So these two groups, or the leadership of both groups, were really out to win what we call now, to win the minds of the non-affiliated Jewish men and Jewish women. And it looked in those days that they had the upper hand, that the dreams of 19, of the Balfour Declaration, and of 1917 and 18 in San Remo, it looked that the British, I think I mentioned this before, and I think it's worth repeating to get the background, that it looked as the British are not sincere about that, about this thing that's called Palestine, and that ever become a Jewish homeland. And they have played the Arabs against the Jews, or the Jews against the Arabs. And at that time, these people who were opposed to us got the upper hand. We used to engage them, and they would engage us in public discussions, because they would arrange public meetings. And so did we. This went on for a few years, until I would say, as I remember this, I would say till 1924. Now what happened to 1924 in Milwaukee that I remember very vividly, and I have personally participated in it. I would say two things. First of all, our people did not have a place where to meet, and they were mostly concerned is that they didn't have a school, a Jewish school for their children. That other education that Jewish children get other than the one in the public school, our people were not satisfied being more or less liberal-minded, progressive. We were not satisfied with the Talmud Torah, or a religious school. And there was such a thing. They were much older than they were in existence at the time, and they had probably a history of 20 or 30 or 40 years, perhaps as long as the Jewish immigration to Milwaukee. But our people were dissatisfied with just a religious school. We looked upon a school that would, and we put the emphasis on Jewish history, Jewish literature, Jewish traditions. And we felt, at that time at least, we felt that as far as religion is concerned, this belongs to the synagogue, congregation, or temple, and a school. So we have gone to work here, and we have formed a nucleus, a group of people who really worked very hard, a group of people who were young and idealistic, and we worked very hard. We bought a small building and converted this into a school on 11th and Vine. And in fall, in October of 1924, we opened this school, and we had a school, a Jewish school. It was known for many, many years as the Yiddish Volksschule. We used there, the kids would go, our children would go, like most Jewish children do in this type of school. They would go after public school from 4 to 6 or from 5 to 7. And we have founded in Milwaukee a Yiddish Volksschule that is a Jewish school. A fellow by the name, he too is dead, the name of Mr. Zavell, who died a few years ago, was the first president or chairman of this school, and I was the first secretary of that school. That school was in existence for many, many years, and later we consolidated with another school. The second thing that we done in it isn't that we done, but we helped to, is the Histadrut campaign. Just as I said before, that they were two factions fighting for the mind of the neutral, so to say, if we can use a term that is known today. This what happened in Milwaukee actually happened throughout the United States. And the unions, the Jewish unions, who were very, very powerful in those days, and the Jewish labor movement, who was very powerful in those days, was at best, very cold to the idea of a Jewish homeland or a Jewish Palestine. In those, until 1924, a group of people of the Jewish unions, I'm speaking nationally, went over to Palestine, spent I don't know how long, a month or two, and came back and reported to the Jewish labor movement, said to them, I think we are making a mistake. They are actually Jewish workers, thousands of them, who they toil the fields, they work in shops, they live under very miserable conditions. I think it's incumbent upon us to go to work and give these people, just like we help others, we should also help our own people. And this thing that's called the Histadrut, that's the Confederation of Labor of Palestine, was opened up an office in New York in 24 was the first campaign held in Weir, Milwaukee, under the leadership of the late Mr. Nathan Sand, who died some years ago. And I again was the first secretary of this committee to raise money. And we went out and raised a small sum of money, something like $500. In a national campaign of $50,000, I remember it very clearly. And from then on, we were engaged for many years, not so much in debates, discussions with the other factions, as in real practical work. I would say there was a new period that started in this movement, in 1924. That we were engaged in two very practical things. First, this school for our children, that we school teachers, place of our own where we held our meetings, and to help raise money, tools, money, whatever we could to raise to help Jewish workers in Israel. We also worked in cooperation with the Jewish National Fund. That's a fund that has been in existence probably for maybe 75 years and still is very much in existence today. That's a fund that raises money throughout the world to buy land, but land in Israel, cultivated the land, and done many, many good things. We cooperated and still cooperate with them till this day. We were a part in the leadership of the of this movement. During these years, when we carried on this campaign, annual campaigns for the workers in Palestine, we were very fortunate that this organization in Palestine would send out delegations to the United States. And every delegation, when they came here, they certainly came to Milwaukee to public meetings. And when I look today and the roster of the of people who are on the helm or who are on the government of Israel today, I remember that we that Golda Meir came in 1926, and the present president of Israel, Mr. Ben Zvi, I think came in 1928. Mr. Ben Gurion came, I don't remember exactly, I think it was in 1930 or so, that the or those people came to Milwaukee and to public meetings, and it naturally enhanced our standing in the community, and we gained more prestige and more friends.